Would you stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning? We're back in the Sermon on the Mount, back where we left off in the chapter 6 of Matthew. We're actually going to back up a few verses this morning. It was one of those verses that I kind of really wanted to skip, but the Lord said, you know, as He can, maybe you don't need to skip this one. So we're in verse 14 and 15, though we looked at 16 through 18 last time. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's the Word of God for the people of God.
You
may be seated. Yeah, over the years, I've thought about preaching a series of sermons that I would entitle something like The Most Disturbing Things That Jesus Ever Said. So I was thinking about, sort of off the top of my head, what would it include? And I started listing those things, and it dawned on me that most of them are in the Sermon on the Mount, on which I preach now for 12 weeks and have about 12 more weeks left to go. So I thought, well, maybe instead of doing a new sermon series like that, I should just rename my Sermon on the Mount series as Things I Wish Jesus Never Said, or Things I Hope Jesus Didn't Really Mean. Or since today is the U.S. Open men's tennis final, I thought maybe I should just call it my John McEnroe series. You cannot be serious! Those of you who might not know who John McEnroe is, he's on about 3 commercials this day. They brought him back, to play on that famous line. He even wrote a book in which he entitled that, You Cannot Be Serious. You know, like when Jesus things like, if you say you fool, you shall be liable to the fire of hell. Or everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery. Or if your right hand caused you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye caused you to sin, gouge it out. Or even things like, turn the other cheek. Give to anyone who asks of you. Right? We want to think, you cannot be serious, really? But you can be sure that the passage today would be pretty high on the list of those sermons. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. In fact, this one might be even more disturbing than those other ones. I mean, some of those we could write off as exaggeration for effect, like cut off your hand or gouge out your eye. This one seems more like cause and effect. Cause and effect with some eternal consequences. Kind of like that unforgivable sin thing Jesus talked about, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Here he simply says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. I mean, this statement from Jesus, of course, comes as an explanation, or maybe really more an emphasis, on a petition in the Lord's Prayer that he's just finished teaching the disciples. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It seems as if Jesus, after teaching them that prayer, had it dawn on him that the gravity of what he just told them to pray has not sunk in on them. I mean, that is, after all, what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer, which we pray all the time, isn't it? Father, if I don't forgive, then don't forgive me. That's what we're praying. Unless we think this is just one of those one-offs that we might kind of overlook, that Jesus just said it one time, Jesus talks about this a lot. I mean, you remember his response to Peter's question, how many times should we forgive? 7 times? And Jesus said, why don't you start with 70 times 7 and go from there? Or what about that parable Jesus told about the unforgiving servant, the 18th chapter of Matthew? It's a memorable story. It says there was this man who owed this king or this master this unfathomable amount of money, an unpayable debt. But he goes to them begging, and he says, if you'll just give me time, I'll pay it back. Well, what the man knows is, I could give you to eternity, and you can't pay this debt. It's bigger than you will ever be able to repay. So he says to the man, I'm going to forgive you the debt. You can't repay it. I'm going to forgive you the debt. You remember the story, the man walks out the door, runs, walking down the street, runs into another man who owes him a very small amount of money. Grabs him by the collar and says, pay me what you owe me, or I'll have your family thrown into prison. Well, people are observing this, that know what's just happened to the man. They go back to the master that forgave him this unforgivable debt and say, "Do you know what this guy just did?" Of course, he calls him back in and says, "You know, I'm going to throw you into prison until you can pay every penny you owe me, because you couldn't be gracious after I've been gracious to you. You couldn't be forgiving after I've forgiven you this debt." Jesus ends the story with this line, "And so my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you don't forgive your brother and sister from your heart." So obviously, this is the really important aspect of discipleship, because remember, being a disciple is following Jesus in an attitude or an experience of study, obedience, and imitation. What Jesus is doing here is not issuing a threat. He's offering a warning. It's a warning about how big a stumbling block unforgiveness can be in our own life with God and our ability to model our life after His, which is what discipleship is. I think what Jesus is really saying is not something that's creating some kind of divine law, forgive or you won't be forgiven, but rather He's offering some divine wisdom. He's saying that a forgiving heart is the key to our ability to receive forgiveness. Mother Teresa once talked about the importance of emptying ourselves so that God could fill us. As she put it, "Even God cannot fill what is already full. Few things can consume us and fill our hearts like unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. They grow uncontrollably in us. And when they do, they leave no room for anything else there. To experience forgiveness is to receive grace. But if I'm harboring unforgiveness that has already filled my heart, there's no room in my heart to receive grace." See, another thing that unforgiveness does to us, it makes it really difficult for us to see our own need for forgiveness. When we're so fixated on the harm that's been done to us, it often blinds us to the harm we may be doing to others. Most of us will struggle with a distorted view of ourselves and our sin, particularly as we compare that to other people and their sin. I mean, particularly as we compare that to their sin against me. We have this tendency somehow to think we deserve forgiveness more than they do. But this is the catch-22 of this whole thing. We don't know how to receive grace if we don't know how to give grace. But we don't know how to give grace if we haven't yet received grace. These two things go hand in hand. We can't really have one without the other, is what Jesus is trying to explain. And maybe Jesus' point is also that the ability to forgive begins with the realization that we have been forgiven. The whole Bible is a story of sin and forgiveness, and it culminates with Jesus. And finally, it culminates with His followers who are left to complete or to prepare a community of forgiveness and life in the kingdom of heaven come to earth, which is a place of forgiveness. So how can we truly understand it and offer it if we haven't yet received it? If I can't come to the place of forgiveness of others, Jesus is saying it should be a warning to me that maybe I've never truly understood how I have been forgiven. Because when we do truly grasp the depth of our own sin and God's grace in Jesus Christ who gave His life for us, it will change the way I see others, even those who have sinned against me. So maybe we should ask then, what does forgiveness look like when I practice it? Or another way of putting it is, how do I forgive? Or maybe even, how do I know when I've forgiven? Well, first of all, I can tell you that forgiveness doesn't mean I will forget the harm that's been done to me. You know the old cliche, forgive and forget. But the reality is, we don't forget. I know Jeremiah 31 in the New Covenant, God says, "I will remember their sins no more," but I'm not God. I probably will remember their sins indefinitely. But I think what God really means is explained by Paul in 2 Corinthians when he says, "I will not count their sins against them anymore." Not just that I don't remember them, I won't count them against them anymore. I mean, it would be easy to forgive if we didn't remember, wouldn't it? But we do remember. That's what makes it so hard. So that's where forgiveness begins. It begins with a decision or a commitment, not a feeling. I don't forgive once I feel forgiving. I forgive as an act of my will before I feel anything. It's a decision that says, I won't use the memory of how you hurt me against you any longer. It is the commitment to no longer try to make someone suffer for their wrong. The Hebrew word for forgiveness is the word nasa. It means to bear something, or literally, to carry it. When we choose to forgive someone, we choose to bear or carry the wrong that they did to us, the debt that they created with us. It's what Jesus did. His forgiveness was to bear or carry our sins on the cross, and in the process, to reconcile us to God or rebuild our relationship. In the parable of the unforgiving servant I just talked about, the master who forgave the debt actually bore the debt. Forgiving the man's debt didn't pay it back. He simply says, I will bear the debt. I will absorb the loss. Forgiveness doesn't mean it never happened. It doesn't mean that it didn't really matter, because it did. It means, in spite of it, I choose to bear or carry the debt for you. Not because you deserved it either, but because I am learning to walk in obedience and imitation of Jesus, who I'm following. The practice or discipline of forgiveness, in many ways, is the practical application of things Jesus has already been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. Things like, if you come to the altar and realize someone has something against you, get up and go and seek to be reconciled with them. Or when he says, turn the other cheek or go the second mile, give to those who ask of you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. All of those things can really be applied to the act or the practice of forgiveness. That being said, I would remind you that forgiveness does not always remove the consequences of someone's sin. Nor does it mean that we must continue to submit ourselves to some ongoing abuse. Forgiveness deals with what has been done in the past, and it is offered in hope for how it can change the future. Jesus says here, being forgiven is supposed to change me and how I am going forward. If it doesn't, what he warns about is it can break our relationship with God. If I am forgiven, he expects it would make me more forgiving. Well, the same thing is true when we forgive others. We choose to bear what happened in the past in hopes that it will change our future together. But if it doesn't change the future, the reality is the relationship may have no future. It doesn't mean I haven't forgiven you if I walk away because my forgiveness changed nothing in you. It means I have done what I can about the past, and now the future will be up to you. Few things are more therapeutic than forgiveness and forgiving. In forgiving, I am emptying myself of the burden of my anger and my bitterness and my resentment. In being forgiven, I am being given an opportunity to empty myself of guilt and regret. I am being set free. That's why Jesus left us this reminder at the table that we come back to again and again and again, that on the cross, Jesus bore our sins. He forgave them by bearing them. He offered us forgiveness. And when I grasp that it is my sin that put him there, how can I not be humbled enough to forgive myself and to forgive others? Jesus said, if any of you want to become my followers, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. What that may mean for us is to deny myself my right to resentment, my right to bitterness, my right to anger in the face of harm done to me, and to bear the sin of another. so that I can follow Jesus into my own forgiveness.